Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for all that you continue to reveal through revelation. And we thank you, Lord, that you continue to pour yourself out upon us. God, we pray that you would go before us this morning. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Help us to receive the portion that you have set aside for each one of us, Lord. You will feed us corporately as well as individually. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide and the revealer of truth. Lord, we do not want to hear the words of men, but the word of God. So I pray, Lord, that I would hide behind Christ and that you would go before me. Lord, that anything that is of the flesh would not interfere. Anything that is not of you. Lord, we pray that you would magnify your word, that you would glorify your Son. And Lord, that you would do an eternal work in each one of our lives. Continue to transform us, Lord, into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We won't fail to give you the honor and the glory. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You can open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, as we continue looking at the parables that Jesus has now decided to teach the multitudes through. We saw the unpardonable sin, and we know that the Lord, because the nation of Israel rejected the Lord, because of that rejection, that Jesus, at that point in time in the Gospel of Matthew, has gone to teach them in parables. Parables were... It means to come alongside. So it's a physical story with spiritual meaning. We cannot miss the spiritual meaning. If all we see is the physical, then we miss it. Jesus continues to look at parables. We looked at the parable last week of how we hear and how the four soils and how the word of God is the seed and the word of God goes forth. And how do we receive that word? I believe that because Jesus was kind of doing a turnaround here, or if you will, or because they weren't receiving his teaching. He presented the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom's here. The kingdom is here. No, it's here, right here, today. Amen. It's in each one of us. It's a spiritual kingdom. They were waiting for a millennial kingdom. They were waiting for a kingdom that was tangible, that they could look at Jesus as the king, as the conqueror, that he was going to annihilate the Romans or free them from Roman bondage. And that's not what the Lord had intended. He wanted to free us from ourselves and our sin. And so when the Lord came and presented himself to the nation, to the religious leaders, they rejected him. Because of the rejection, he now teaches in parables. A parable was to reveal to the believers and to conceal from the unbelievers. It was also to fulfill prophecy. And so there was prophecy in chapter 6 of Isaiah that said they will hear, but they won't understand. They're going to be able to see the Lord is teaching them, but not be able to comprehend anything that he's teaching. I think we all can attest to the fact that we know people that have read the Bible and they say, oh, I got nothing out of it. And you never will if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden when you get saved and you're born again and then you read the Bible and then you're like, wow, did you see that? Did you see that? I didn't know it said that. And then you read through the Bible numerous times, and you still say, I don't remember seeing that. Well, how can that be? When did he put that in there? And we look at it that way. And it's the Lord. It's just pouring himself out upon us. And so I believe that the first parable with the seed in the soil, that it's a picture of those that will be in the kingdom. Only those that are bearing the fruit, the fourth soil that had good soil, was bearing fruit. That's a picture of salvation. The others pictured the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the religious leader, and the unbelievers of the day, and how the cares of the world come in and it just chokes it out. How many times have we come to church and the cares of the world have choked out the word, even in the believers' hearts? Or they're just the prosperity, or there was no depth to it. It was on bedrock. There was nothing firm that the roots can grow upon, and they would just be wiped out. There was no fruit there. There was no salvation there. And so now I believe, I just see these parables, and I never saw this before. There's a progression to them. And it's cool, because I've read them, I've studied them, but I see he shows us the salvation in the seed in the soil, and now he shows us what happens next when he begins to talk about the wheat and the tares. And the wheat and the tares is the unbeliever and the believer. And so now the Lord said, here's the differential. These are those that are mine, those that are bearing fruit. But guess what? There's also going to be tares that are going to grow among them. No secret, but Satan is a counterfeit. He is a counterfeit. He will plant false Christians. He encourages false growth. And he introduces false doctrine. There's so much bad doctrine out there today. Just be careful who you listen to. Always make sure it aligns with the Word of God. And if it does not, listen, I don't care if it's one sentence, one word. You don't realize how dangerous that can be. Listen, when I first became born again, I listened to everybody. I didn't know any better. I'm like, nah, everybody's good. I listen to everybody. And then your doctrine gets so twisted because now it's like, well, this one said this and this one said that. Then you mature, you get older, and you start to grow in the faith and knowledge. And then you start reading commentaries because you want to get more in-depth insight into the Word of God. And you realize they don't agree on half the stuff. They don't agree with me on some of these things today that we're going to look at. But, hey, that's okay. Listen, he has counterfeit Christians, 2 Corinthians 11:26. It speaks about dangers among false brethren. They believe in a counterfeit gospel, a gospel that's from someone else. It's interesting. It says, if you hear it in Galatians 1 from an angel or anyone else, then it's not pure doctrine. And yet there's a whole cult today that swear by the Bible that received it from an angel. How do you say that's okay? How do you can't believe that the Word of God is 100% inerrant if you believe that. You can't. And the problem is people want to pick and choose what they want to believe and where they want to hang their hat. And they say, well, that's okay with me. Well, I don't play that. I don't believe that to be true. I believe the Bible is black and it's white. There's no gray area. And people that think there's contradictions in the Bible have never given the Bible the opportunity to explain itself. Because not that it has to, but it can. And there are no infallibility. Listen, the Word of God is true. It's not true because I believe it. It's true because it's the Word of God. Is it lost? Oh, it's lost in the translations along the way. Really? Okay, then do the Greek. Okay, get yourself some Greek interlinear books. I'll give you some of mine, and you can study it in the Greek, and then you can see what the Lord says. Okay? It's just, listen, in the end times, he will have a false Christ. You see things now, they, you know, cloud forming, and it's like it looks like Jesus. And people are like, oh, praise God, and they're all running to it. Don't run to that. Don't run. Jesus warned us. Listen, when they say, here he is, he's in the mountains, he's here, don't go there. Don't go there. That's why we preach Christ and Christ alone, because the more Jesus you have, the more discernment you have, and the more truth. Truth is a person. It's Jesus. Amen. Truth is his word, because it's a revelation of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Why? Because he's revealing the truth, who is Jesus. You can't miss that. You just can't miss that. So the Lord goes into another parable with the wheat and the tares. And watch what he says. Verse 24, chapter 13, follow along if you will. Jesus presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. Now this is he didn't say this in the first parable because I believe he was making a statement about the believers at that time. But now it's talking about the kingdom. This is part of the kingdom. But he says it may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. Verse 26. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Can you picture this? Listen, we're over 2,000 years later that Jesus gave the parable and goes to show you just how relevant it is. We still understand what he was saying. Like, it didn't surpass time. Oh, well, that was then and this is now. No, it is, period. Thank you very much. Verse 28. And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? Remember, this is the Lord telling the story. But he said, no, for while you are gathering up tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. I wrote on the side of that, none lost. None lost. The Lord, we're engraved in his hand. We are in the palm of his hand in John 10, and he loses none of us. Verse 30, allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, the tares, the Greek name for the tares is called darnel. And it basically is this weed that will grow that when the wheat and the tares grow together, you can't tell them apart. You can't tell them apart. The Lord is saying, listen, while he was sowing seed, while he was presenting the believer, okay, who is the seed, the good seed. That's what I titled the message, good seed, because we are the good seed. And while he's putting out the good seed, at the same time, the enemy came, Satan, whoever, the devil. Okay, he came and he planted tares. And it's all there to confuse us and to draw us away and get so caught up in the things of the world, in the things that we think may be of God, and turns out they're not. The interesting thing about this tear, darnel, is the only way you can tell it apart is when it matures. Now, I'm not saying that every mature Christian can look down the line or go to any church and look around and say, yep, that one's saved. Oh, no, that one's not saved. I'm not so sure about that one. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the Lord is saying that when they become, when they get to maturity, which may be at the end of the days, when he actually sends his angels and they tear up the tares and they wrap them up and they burn them, what do you think that is? That's hell. That's hell. And yet he takes the good, the wheat, and he takes it into his barn. Listen to Isaiah 44, verses 3 to 5. I love this. It says, "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and the streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And they will spring up among the grass by which springs streams of water. This one will say, I am the Lord's. And that one will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord, and will name Israel's name with honor." This is what the Lord is doing. But we'll see it later on how Jesus explains it. But he said the good seed is the believers. And so the Lord was showing me how that seed became mature, how it began to grow, and where it led us. And I looked up the word seed, and the first mention is in Genesis 1:11. And I love this. It says, "Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing," look at this, "fruit after their own kind with seed in them." And it was so. Oh, it gets better. Genesis 3:15. It says, "And I will put enmity," this is the gospel in Genesis, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed." That's Satan's seed and God's seed. "He shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel." The head wound will be Satan because Jesus is going to crush him with his heel. Now, here's an explanation in the New Testament, Galatians 3:16. "Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say "and to seeds," plural, as referring to many, but rather one. And then it says, "and to your seed," that is Christ. Jesus is the seed. And so when the Lord is telling the parable and he's passing out seed, it's good seed. Why? Because it's after his kind. Amen. He begins as the seed. The gospel is given. He will crush Satan. And so Jesus saying that the tares are growing with the wheat, as long as we're on the right side of the wheat, we're good seed. We're okay. We're in his hands. He's our protection. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. He's our provision. Listen to Isaiah 53:10. "But the Lord was pleased to crush him." You'll never figure that out. I will never, ever, ever. The incarnation's one thing, but then he allows that body to live for 30 years on this earth. Oh, and then he says, it pleased him to crush him, putting him to grief. "If he would render himself as a guilt offering." And then it says this, "he will see his offspring." You know what offspring means in the margin? Seed. "He will see his seed." When Jesus goes to the cross, in John 12, it says that a seed needs to be placed in the ground. And when it's in the ground, it needs to die so that it may what? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. And so when Jesus went to the cross and he died, he went into the belly of the earth, if you will. Only why? To sprout, to come forth, to bear fruit. This is prior to that. But Jesus is saying he's going out and he's throwing out good seed. He's planted you. He's done a work in you. He's separated you. He's empowered you. He's guiding you. He is everything that you will ever need. Ever. Amen. Ever. It's his seed. He's the sower. Listen, where are you? You're not there. Not yet. Not until you start to sprout. Not until you realize that your spirit, bearing witness with his spirit, reveals to you, I'm a child of God. Oh, I thought I believed. I did believe, but I didn't believe unto salvation. That's a quickening of the spirit. That's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said it in Galatians 1. He said, I heard the gospel. He said, not by man. Nobody preached the gospel. Nobody gave Paul Bible tracts. Nobody told him how to get saved. Paul was looking to persecute the church. And the Lord said, oh, we have an encounter. And Paul could look back and said, it was a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what saved me. That's the only way we get saved. Amen. Not a prayer you pray. You can pray all you want. I know people that have prayed their whole lives, and they're going to be wrapped up in a bundle and thrown into the fire. It's not prayer. It's Christ. Amen. It's Jesus. It always was. It always will be. Now, we'll hit the other two parables, and then we'll go to Jesus explaining it, the tares and the wheat. Verse 31, he presented another parable to them saying, and here's where it says this on each one. The kingdom of heaven is like, what's it like? He says it's like a mustard, what? Seed. It's a seed. It's a seed which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Listen, many, many of them regard this as a picture of the church, growing so large that it provides refuge for all the world. I know people that have gone to church. I remember this one guy, so funny. Church we used to belong to. And I went and I said, oh, you know, what brings you here? He said, I'm looking for a wife. True story. Straight up, that's what he said. He wasn't ashamed of it. I'm like, we'll leave our girls alone. You heathen. Can you believe this? Listen, people... people find refuge. After 9/11, our church wasn't full, but they said that churches were full after 9/11. That people were looking. It was a refuge for a moment in time where they thought that they were safe or they would hear a word that could deliver. But it didn't last. It didn't last. Because you're either a wheat or a tear. You're good soil or good seed or you're not. Or you're not. It's just a picture of how the kingdom will begin with what? 12 men. 12 men. Jesus said 12 men. They've been shaking things up. They're going to turn the world upside down. It started with such a small group only to end up where it is today. There could be a billion believers on this earth. I don't know. But that's a lot of people. How about all the people up through the ranks? The Lord said, listen, here's what I like about it. It's him. He's the sower. He's planting the good seed. He's watching it grow. And he's saying, I know this, that it's going to keep growing. It's going to keep growing. Oh, persecution came. And when the persecution came, they thought, oh, this is it. The church is all done. It's not going to grow now. I like in Voice of the Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs, it says the blood of the saints was the seed of the church. Was the seed. It grew because of persecution. Listen, the American church could use a little shaking up. We're in such a place of easy believism. Raise your hand, you want to go to heaven. Come on, who wants to go to heaven? Sow your seed. Give me $1,000. I need a jet plane. Come on. You see the car I'm driving? I should have a jet. I need to get around. Four Rivers, dangerous driving. We can all admit that, right? It's insanity. It's insanity. Listen, here's the key. Jesus. Jesus. He planted me. He said, Donnie, you're going to be good seed. I can all day long tell you I don't deserve it, and I'm not worthy of it. But what am I saying to the Lord's choice? What am I saying to what he's done? Oh, Lord, you made a mistake? No, Lord, I don't think so. Amen. God chose. He said, you're going to be good seed. And in that good seed, guess what? You won't be alone. It'll keep growing. It'll keep growing. I think it's twofold. I think it's a picture of the church, but I think it's a picture of the individual, the good seed. I think that sometimes we don't realize how much we've grown. You know, you tell a believer, oh man, you've grown so much. Oh, really? I don't see it. That's okay. That's okay. Because others will see it. There's folks in this church that got saved recently that blow me away. That blow me away. How God is ministering to them, how they're reading this Bible, how they're understanding it, how they're witnessing. Like, really? Started small. It was a seed. It was a seed. God used a seed. It was planted in you. And it began to germinate, and it began to do a work in you. And once it began to grow, it keeps growing. Philippians 1:6, he began a good work in you. Amen? He began a good work in you. Well, if he began it, who finishes it? Well, you do. Get right with God. Do what you need to do. No, it says he finishes it. He is our sanctification. He is our justification. He is our glorification. Satan can sow all the counterfeit people that he wants. This false growth, this false doctrine. But I can tell you this, when you start to grow and you're growing and maturing, there's no doubt of that. You know, I've always said, for me personally, and the way God moved in my life, that you realize you have a call, that God has a plan. And when God starts unveiling the plan, you realize, hey, this is God's plan. I believe that you receive that plan, you receive that call, and you walk in it. You don't wait for someone to tell you to do that. That's what God's doing. So you walk in it. And as you're walking in it, others will see that. Others will see it. I remember I felt God, we were in Bulgaria. And God, I cried the whole service. I just wept, like, I don't like to do that. And so I had to leave the front of the church and go in the back, which was dirt floor, all, you know, just brick. And I went in the back and I'm weeping. And someone said, you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And I just felt God saying, shepherd my people. That's all. I shepherd my people. We got back to Greece because we were in Bulgaria for a couple of days. We got back to Greece. I called my wife. I said, babe, God's burning this on my heart. Like, I know this. And she goes, Donna. Everybody knows that. Like, yo, why am I the last one to figure that out? That's not right. But you know what? The point is, I just walked in my call. I'm not trying to be something. Listen, I have never prayed. You may know this anyway. That to be a good preacher. You're like, oh, yeah, I can tell that. No, I never. It's just something I never prayed for. I don't pray to be a good husband. I don't pray like, Lord, help me to be the best husband I can be. I'll tell you what I do pray. Lord, draw me close to you. And as you draw nearer to me and I draw nearer to you, Lord, everything else will work out exactly how you want it to. So I think, listen, many times it says the birds, they flew in and they, you know, made a nest for themselves. It says the birds of the air came and nest in the branches. A lot of times this is, you know, Satan, some commentaries believe that this is the evil ones that were infiltrating in that. I don't think so. I think it's just a resting place that God's people can be. Have you ever had the unbeliever call you up in crisis mode and says, I know that you would have a word for me? That's the birds in them. They're not. It's not the unbeliever necessarily either. It's just, I think God put it there for accent. Just to say, listen, this is the tree. It was big enough. The birds came and they nested in it. That's all. We don't have to read any more into it. And the next one, 33. It says, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like, it's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Now listen, if the leaven is evil and it's planted by Satan, that means there is no church anymore because it became all leaven. We agree? Okay. Verse 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And this is Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Now listen, leaven here, Jesus uses, I believe, positively. If you disagree with me, it's okay. You don't have to tell me after church. It's okay. Because there are people that disagree with me. I'm good with that. I'm so secure in what God shows me that I don't care. I'm not outside the Bible. I will explain myself. Listen, this parable, like the formal, is meant to show the wonderful works when the grace of God, like leaven, sanctifies the whole nature. The church would spread throughout the world. The nature of leaven is such that once the process of, I don't know if this is a word, but we can add it to the dictionary, leavening, it begins. Listen, it's impossible to stop. Did you get that? The leaven, once the leaven is mixed into the measure and the woman starts to meet, or the man starts to work the bread, got to be politically correct nowadays, they start to work it, eventually it becomes all leaven. Is that not a picture of God's grace? Maybe even the Holy Spirit instead of evil? Listen, 36 times leaven's mentioned in the scriptures. 35 of them, it's mentioned as an evil. Be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. Be careful of the leaven over here. Be careful of the leaven. The leaven's going to pollute all their sacrifices. Make sure there's no leaven in the house. It's going to be Holy Week. What are we going to do? We got to go through the whole house. Make sure there's not a speck of leaven in it because it's sin. Jesus is saying, listen, this leaven, this little bit of leaven, if the church started with a small group of men and it grew into what it is today, this mustard tree from a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds. And then he says, when they work in this leaven, it's going to be worked in and it's going to take over. Are you at the place where Jesus has totally consumed your life? Where it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. That he has transformed your life to the point where your thoughts are biblical thoughts. When you see things happening in the world, you don't go, oh, look what happened. You know, when you get all frazzled and all riled up. Instead, you look and you go, God's in control. Amen. Tragedy strikes your home and you say, God's in control. I know that the hand of God is upon this. I know the hand of God is upon this church. I don't pray God fills the church. Listen, everybody that's here, you're here because God brought you here. No, I get in my car, I drove myself. God brought you here. God brought you here. No, Uber. No, Uber. I don't know who Ubered. Hopefully nobody Ubered. But you see my point. It's God. It's all God. It's all God. I like, in the current age, the kingdom of heaven is spiritual, existing within the hearts of the believers. Luke 17:21. Leaven does its job slowly, secretly, silently, but no one can deny its effect on the bread. Be pita pockets or sliced bread, which one you want. Listen, the same is true for the work of grace in our hearts. It's the work that God is doing. So the Lord, he's saying, listen, he's sowing good seed. The good seed's going to bear fruit. The good seed's going to grow. It's going to grow into this massive tree that's bigger than all the others. But it's going to begin also in each individual with just a little bit of leaven. And it's going to grow. Verse 36. It says, then he left the crowds and went into the house, perhaps Peter's mother's house, mother-in-law. And his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said, this is Jesus' words, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He says, that's me. That's me. And the field is the world. It's not the church. It's the world. And as far as the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. No secret here. Jesus pours it all out. He says, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Verse 42, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, these will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun, that's Daniel 12, in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears? Let him hear. The world is the field. Many have said, oh no, it's the church. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, the field is the world. The world has two types of people. I say this all the time, correct? There's only two types of people. I don't care where you're born. I don't care. Listen. Two. And I don't mean male and female. I mean a believer and an unbeliever. You're either a wheat or you're a tare. And the Lord says, if we're going to be part of the kingdom of heaven, if Jesus is going to live in our hearts and rule in our soul and direct our steps, then we got to be part of the wheat. Gee, what if I'm not? What if I'm not? Those who seek him with all their heart shall what? You'll find him. You'll find. Of course, when you find him, you'll realize he's been looking for you the whole time. But seek him. Seek him. And that's why I tell people, show up. Show up. Because I know if you keep showing up, God brought you here. And I know if you keep showing up, God's going to do a work. I guarantee it. I know. I've seen it over and over and over. I guarantee it's going to happen. The fate of the ungodly is fire. The fire is the fires of hell. It's the lake of fire. He gathers them up, he bounds them, and he throws them in. I got to tell you, I wish it was not so. They're not annihilated. They don't burn up and they're no more. It's eternal. God has set eternity in every man's heart. We're all going to live for eternity. There's only two places. And if you think, well, maybe God hasn't chosen me. Maybe God hasn't separated. Well, seek the Lord with all your heart. Keep seeking, and you'll find him. And then you'll know that it's God that's moving in your heart. You'll know that it's he that was the sower of your good seed. You'll know. Listen, the field represents the world. The good seed represents God's true people and the sons of the kingdom. And the tares represent false believers in the world, the sons of the wicked one. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I jokingly say we're closer today than we were yesterday, but not really joking. I mean, we are closer to the end than we were yesterday. The world is running fast. It's going quick. The older you get, the quicker life goes. Trust me. For you young people, you can all be like, yeah, I hope this summer lasts forever. To me, the summer's halfway over, and it's not. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, baptisms, and we got, and then, you know, you plan your life and your year, and you're already thinking, oh, it's going to be cold again. I hate winter. It goes quick. I thank God that he's not of time. He created time. I always think of he placed man in it, but he's not of time. And he's not in a hurry. We all know that. God's never raced us to anything. Answered a prayer before we prayed it. Now, usually comes a little after. But that's okay. That's okay. But it's at hand. Jesus said it twice earlier in Matthew 3:2 and 4:17. Of course, he meant spiritually. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Matthew 7:22, Jesus warned that many professed faith but did not know him. They came to him and said, Lord, Lord, did we not? We casted out demons. I gave in the church every week, Lord. I was a deacon. I served. I did everything you wanted me to do, God. Except. Each one of us need to examine ourselves. Examine our own relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? I can tell you, when I first read that, I get on my knees and I'm like, Lord. Not that God was testing me for that, but I just want to know that I'm his and that he's mine. Oh, when God showed me a hallelujah moment right then and there. Say, you don't see sparks? I saw them. Listen, Jesus is sowing true believers in various places so that they might bear fruit. John 12, as I mentioned earlier, 23 and 24, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. And if it dies, it bears much fruit. This is the Lord putting forth his seed. I'll close with this. You'll learn as you go on that the Christian life is not your ability to imitate him, but his ability to reproduce himself in you. It's a seed after its own kind. The first charges take place are very deep and invisible. Christ himself, the Son of Man, and no other is the sole sower of the kingdom of heaven and of the grace of God. So everything you know about God, every spiritual truth that you've learned, the Son of God has planted that in your heart. See, he's not just the sower of good seed unto salvation. He's the sower of fruit as well. John 15. He's the sower, and it's the picture of the grace of God and life in the Spirit. The good seed, the good seed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Father God, once again, we want to thank you for your faithfulness to each and every one of us. Your faithfulness to fill this place with your presence, to speak your voice to each one of us specifically, as well as corporately. We just thank you and praise you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen.